Welcome to the B Show.
The B Show.
The B Show.
A wrestling podcast.
Welcome to the Go Home edition of the B Show, a wrestling podcast. Big Smoothie's out this week, and I can't be mad at him because I've missed a couple of weeks. But we do welcome back our boy Jay, who's been out for how many weeks?
I'm back, baby. You're back? 6 weeks, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
And now you're back.
I'm back.
Ready to rock and roll.
This is my first week back. Couldn't miss the WrestleMania going home podcast show, so I'm excited.
Very cool. So do you want to just dive right into Mania?
Yeah, let's just dive right in. One Raw, Shane, top rope. That was awesome. That's pretty much all from Raw that you can take
care of. I'm going to disagree with you.
You didn't like it?
I think a big spot like that needs to get saved. I think the pull apart would have been more appropriate in that situation and a little bit more realistic just because of how poor Shane's punches are.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it, and I know that they need to sell pay-per-view. So. Yeah. But the thing that I will come back on you with was I genuinely thought the ADR Kofi match was top-notch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The New Day
was awesome.
I would love to see way more from the two of them.
Yeah.
Those two specifically.
The promo leading into it was awesome, too.
Because here's my thing with the New Day League of Nations is I hate the fact that it's lopsided 4-3 because I feel like if it was 4-4, there's some fantastic matchups in there. Because Kofi and ADR tore it down. I'm sorry. That, for me, was the best match I've seen come out of WWE so far this year.
Yeah, it was great.
Rusev and Big E, I think, could put on some solid matches.
They got to be the funniest big dudes.
Yeah. And I feel like their matches not only could be hard-hitting but very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd match Xavier Woods up really, really well with Wade Barrett because Wade Barrett works really well with a high flyer. And, I mean, you go back to his Consequences Creed days, and Homeboy was more of like a boxer style. So
yeah.
He can mix it up and do the punch kick like Barrett as well. But then you leave, where's the fourth person? You know what
the
I
Rock.
Mean? Like who's the one that matches up
I
with
think
Sheamus?
I think you might get a little surprised. I think that might be one of the things that The Rock does. He comes in and
but he's not staying is the problem.
No, he's not staying, but either is Wade Barrett. He's out when his contract's up in May, I think, or June.
June, but so, by the same token, let's go back a few years to Dolph Ziggler, and the same thing happened. He announced he was leaving at the end of his contract, signed a contract, and the whole thing went away. He stayed. He's there. And I think that's something that's potentially possible with Barrett as well. I think he's just unhappy with his position and his pay, and he's using the one little bit of leverage he has to get both of those things and potentially stay. And if he doesn't, oh well, he's got a European career, Japanese career that he could go after and probably be far more useful than he is right now.
Yeah, and I like Wade, but I mean, if you look at the roster, what could come up from NXT, who they've signed, and they'll be coming to the roster eventually, and then who's coming back from injury, I mean, if he can't make it out during this time frame, he's just going to get lost even more in the shuffle when everybody comes back. So for me, if I'm Wade and you see all these other guys like the AJs being able to have successful indie runs all over the world and then go into other major promotions and be able to make a name for yourself, say, why not take a risk? You can always come back like your boy ADR.
Yeah. And Alberto Del Rio, I'm going to say, man, is really outclassing the other three guys in that group. I'm sorry. Like, he just looks a step above. I mean, the new ring attire the other night, the way he's got the new trunks and the knee pads that have the one design that become two when they're together.
Yeah, he's just got the attitude.
The way he cuts the collar of the shirt, like he's the epitome of what a champion looks like. I usually bitch about what JBL has to say on the mic, but that was the one thing that I took away from that is when you look at those four guys as a group, who's the one that really stands out where you would go, yeah, that's the Ric Flair of that sort of four horsemen. For me, it's ADR.
Well, and if you just look at his body too, I mean, it's just insane cut since he's come back. I mean, my favorite out of the four is Rusev just because he can be so intense, but also he's comedic relief.
Absolutely.
And I think that's very rare. It's kind of like a Big E where you can do both at the same time. So I love those two together. It'll be interesting to see what they do. If Wade does leave, I mean, Sheamus is Sheamus. So, you know, do they drop down to 3-3 or with, you know, Balor and those guys coming up, does that get into the New Day or do they go in a different direction? So it's kind of exciting to see, you know, what's going to happen after Mania as far as for New Day.
Yeah, well, we talked about this back when you weren't sick when we first launched this whole thing about how it looks like they're going back to that mid to late 90s, let's pair everybody off into these groups kind of thing. And I'm not opposed to it because it gives people a legitimate reason for being where they are on the card.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm more excited to see the even guys like the Social Outcast come out and see what they can do rather than seeing them as individuals.
They're just a glorified job squad. Yeah. But by the same token, they're getting TV time.
Something.
They have merch.
Yep.
And I the other thing, last thing on League of Nations before we switch off to Talking Mania, how cool is the fact that those guys all have their own individual shirts?
Those shirts were bad.
League of Nations.
Ass.
I haven't bought a single piece those of ref wrestling paraphernalia.
Which one would you get?
The Del Rio.
Is that because it's your boy or is that your favorite?
Out of the four shirts, that was my favorite. I like the layout and the design of it. I think it was a super classy shirt.
I like Wade's the best. I'm not a, you know, obviously Rusev is my favorite out of the four, but I just liked the design and what it said on it. But those are awesome. Yeah.
The ADR shirt, like I would wear on stage with my band and not think twice about
absolutely.
It, where I wouldn't wear another piece of wrestling paraphernalia.
Well,
if
see,
you paid
and
me.
That's the best. The best wrestling shirts, in my opinion, are the ones that are subdued with the designs. They're very chill, black and white, or, you know, you get such these gaudy ones and designs like the Triple H and the Randy Orton's with the skulls and all over the back. I mean,
well, it's because they're trying to appeal to that Affliction tap-out crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is, so for me, it's like the simple. Like, I got on the Vintage Rock Just Bring It shirt today. I had to dust it off. You know, it's simple. Got it on WWE.com, so.
I'm sure you did.
Subtle stuff, man. Got to get the subtle stuff. The Rock, baby. But yeah, real quick. One, see, going back to what you were saying with Shane and Taker, I think that was needed to show that Shane could do something still, because a lot of people were questioning his age. And because it's a Hell in a Cell, he can't do that spot necessarily off the top rope. He could do it off the cage.
Are you telling me that they're not going to go outside the cage?
If they go outside the cage, but the rope is in the cage, so he can't go. He can either drop off the top of the cage onto the announce table.
I'm gonna lay $20 out right now that he does that same spot off the top of the cage to take her on the Mexican table.
But see, that's different. If you do the top of the cage, I'm saying the top of the rope. If he does the McFoley off the top of the cage, okay, but you're just setting it up. Now that got me so freaking pumped for that match, even more so than what I already was. Even though, like, I'm super scared for Shane, but I liked how I just hated how it opened the show. It should have closed because the way the show closed, I mean, that Roman Triple H match is just dead right now. Nobody cares. Yeah. Everybody knows Roman's going to win. Nobody likes Roman.
I think it's all being done by design. I genuinely do.
All right. Well, let's get right into WrestleMania, right. And then you can tell me your thoughts.
Let's go top to bottom.
All right, top to bottom.
And let's not waste a lot of time talking about the girls because we know how I feel about that.
Oh, Jesus. Sexist.
I'm not sexist.
All right, who's winning?
Who's winning what?
Who's winning the match? Charlotte?
No, let's go in order from the pre-show down.
Oh, you might go pre-show.
That way we can actually spend time on the matches that matter and not have to talk about
Total
Team Bad
Divas
and Blonde.
Versus Bad Blonde.
Truthfully, I don't care. I hope the ring collapses and none of them ever wrestle again.
I want Emma to win. I do like Emma. I like her new persona down in NXT.
Maybe she can steal you a phone case from Walmart.
Hey, I need one.
There
success.
You go.
Right there.
I hate to crap all over the girls, but literally those are 10 girls that don't need to be on the roster.
Listen, ladies, whoever is listening to this out there, because one day, you know, all of these professional wrestler, female wrestlers will listen to our podcast. I love you. I will be the voice for the women. And I heard is that if Charlotte wins, what she wants to do is retire the Diva name and call it women's championship, which I think it needs to do.
I read something online today anyway that's all a work and they're doing it anyway.
Of course it is. Oh, they're doing what?
They're retiring the word diva.
Okay,
and it's
going to
be the women's championship.
Which is good, and I think that'll help the division. There's a lot of talent that's still able to come up. I think you just have to change the mindset of the WWE viewers. There's a reason why in NXT they're able to have great matches, and up on Raw, you know, in SmackDown, it gets a little...
My issue with this is the same issue I have with the problem with the lack of heels on the roster is they're so concerned with what they look like as opposed to the work rate or how they can work on the mic. Because two of the best female wrestlers of the generation are on the sidelines right now, not in that division. I'm talking specifically about Awesome Kong.
Well, she's not coming.
And Jessica Havoc.
Well, you know why Kong's out. She was on, and then she's jacking up Matt Hardy's wife up against the wall, choking her with a baby right there. Awesome Kong's. She was in WWE, and she had to leave because she got pregnant. So they would have Awesome Kong in there if they could.
I think she's going to end up coming back. I hope she
wouldn't be surprised.
She's a sweetheart, and in my opinion, I think she should be able to walk right in and steamroll everybody.
I'd be all for it.
And then they bring Jessica Havoc in, and then you have your two bigger women. They're legitimate. You know what I mean? Nobody believes that the former fitness model is really in there.
I agree with you, but I also think I think that you've got to look at what has been happening over the last couple of months as far as what they've done. I mean, you bring in AJ Styles, they kept his name. You're bringing in guys like Samoa Joe, who kept their name, and then also doesn't have the physique.
This doesn't really have a bearing on the women, though.
No, but I think the women's division is, I mean, who's the NXT, I don't want to pronounce her name wrong, the Japanese wrestler?
Asuka.
I mean, she's not anything that we've ever seen in the division before. I mean, whether she stays in NXT forever, she comes up. I think you're seeing more and more where they want to get the best talent because they've seen how far the roster has fallen.
And I agree with that, but by the same token, if you're moving towards that, why are you putting 10 of the least talented women that have ever graced a ring in the ring to open your pre-show?
How dare you say that about Eva Marie? I think the reason why is because they want it, because they are just trying to give everybody a role. I mean, if you look at it on... I mean, with the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, everybody, literally everyone on the roster,
but nobody in that Battle Royal is in a division that's on the verge of changing. So if you're going to take the Divas word out, you're going to retire the Divas title, make it the Women's Championship, and you're going to refer to them as women or ladies or however you're going to view it, why would you fly in the face of that with the talentless bimbos that you've hired over the last 5 years and half-ass trained to go out and do a terrible 10-man tag?
Well, I think that's the reason why it's on the pre-show. I think then you also have to look at it. I mean, Nikki and Brie Bella probably are never coming back. I mean, Brie's supposed to be retiring. Yeah,
they're done.
Monday's her last show. You know, even Marie, that's been their pet project, whether it works out or not. I mean, she's down in NXT trying to wrestle. Who else is on that team? That's on
Tamina.
Yeah, Tamina and your girl.
Naomi's the only one in the match that deserves to be on the card.
So I think you're just looking for fillers. I mean, to me, most shocking of everything on Sunday is that they're going to try to fill 6 to 7 hours worth of freaking wrestling. That's insane. So if you're going to do that, who would you put in place of it? Like, you have to – I mean, you're hiring them, and they're wrestling weekly. So if you're going to put something on the pre-show and you need to fill 2 hours, and I think that's going to be on USA anyway.
Yeah.
Because the first hour is on USA, then it goes to the network. Yeah. So, I mean, you're using the roster, you're utilizing the people that you're paying, I think, is what it comes down to. I think that's the reason why you have the three main ones, the ones that they think is the upper echelon on the main card.
I'll disagree with you on that, because it's one of those things where it's not necessarily we're paying them, so we want to use them. It's a loyalty thing of, hey, they've stuck around, they deserve the WrestleMania bonus.
And it could be that.
And I get that. But by the same token, for me, I would much rather, as a fan, watch Naomi work somebody, even Emma, one-on-one. Yeah. As opposed to having a bunch of eye candy. And I get it. They're trying to appeal. But what would kill, and again, my point from earlier is, why are you taking these untrained people that aren't good in the ring? And also, why are you selling sex during a PG era? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well, there's two reasons for that. One is, they're slowly coming out of the PG era over the last 2 months, 3 months. Two is, Divas is the number one rated show on E! So you have a lot of people that are tuning into those
women.
Yeah,
that's like being the smartest kid in BOCES, though.
But what I'm saying is that if it's the number one show, you have viewers, and you're trying to get as many eyeballs onto your WrestleMania. So you're saying, okay, and then you can use the behind-the-scenes storylines, the fake, whatever it is, and then you're bringing them to watch WrestleMania that maybe they wouldn't. Or maybe somebody says, hey, you know what, let me tune into USA to see.
But they're not on WrestleMania. But
they're on the WrestleMania day, and they're on USA. So you're taking a cable eyeballs from one station to another cable station that they can tune into easily and be able to DVR or watch it live. I think that's what you have to do. I mean, yeah, you and I would like Emma versus Naomi, but I mean, half those people that would watch that match on USA would be like, who the hell's Emma?
Well, you think they're not going to do it with the 10 broads that are out there? Like, who are these 10 bimbos versus who?
Well, you have, well, I mean,
because with
the
two,
Bellas.
With two, you can legitimize. You can tell a story with two people. Get an audience into it.
I agree with you that a one-on-one match is much better than a 5-on-5.
Or even take the team bad. Like, you had these little pockets of girls. Yeah. Like, why not use that instead of, I'm just confounded by it.
Yeah, they threw, I mean, like, why all of a sudden Emma just came up on the roster? That just surprised the hell out of me. I think they just are trying to see what sticks, what the crowd hits, and they need matches. I mean, we'll get into this later with the injuries, but there's just a depleted roster. And unless you're bringing the new people that you're signing up, I mean, you have to do something with someone. And I think that there will be more people, maybe not the people that are in-ring experts like you who look at that and you focus on the moves and the story, but look at the big picture, you're going to get more people who will be fans of 10 people rather than just the two, unless they're the biggest names in the company. And we all know that unless you take Bella out of that, I don't think that there's a huge name that's in out of those 10.
All right. So by that same token, wouldn't it make more sense to take something that you're trying to build and put it there, like an NXT match?
I agree, but that's, you've heard the same things I've heard, is that Vince doesn't want to put anything NXT to have anything to do with the main roster, and they have their own show on Friday. So I think that's why they're bringing NXT people up, and then they're going to send them back down to NXT.
Most of the NXT shows are actually filled with indie workers. I know I got a lot of guys that I can't say because, you know, contractual crap and whatever else, but I mean, there are as many indie guys working the NXT event as there are NXT guys this coming weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, just in this last week on NXT, they had, you know, a local wrestler, an indie guy, come in and wrestle somebody. I think that what they're trying to do is they didn't have as many women. So, I mean, if you had Naomi and who what's her name?
Tamina.
And against two other people, I mean, there was just an odd number. So they just said, okay, let's just add everybody in, just one big match.
I would have just done a battle royal or, like, go back to the stupid pillow fight idea, just something to get them in the ring and then out.
Well, I think you're probably going to get that. And to be honest, are you going to be watching the USA Network at 5 o'clock in the afternoon for that?
Honestly, I don't know that I'm going to watch any of it.
Any of what? The whole
entire day.
Dude, you're coming over. I'm having a WrestleMania party.
We'll see.
We have a wrestling podcast. Smoothie's already out because he's in his power keg lifting training.
He's got competition. He's got cookie cake to eat.
So, so you got to come over, man. And Young Boy will be there. So, you know, which we'll introduce.
Young Boy said he's not coming.
He did?
Yeah.
When did? Jesus, I'm finding all this live in front of everyone. This is awesome. Did he really tell you that?
Yeah, I don't think.
Well, you know what? I'll be there. Damn it! I'll be at my own WrestleMania.
And don't be offended that I'm not coming to your house.
No,
I'm
offended
like,
now.
For me, it's just like I'm getting more and more jaded on it as it gets further and further away from anything that interests me. You know what I mean? Like, there's literally one match on this card that I care about, and I don't care enough to honestly change my Sunday routine to go see it.
Yeah. Well, I think. But you also got to look into, remember, at least for me and a lot of the listeners out there, last year's WrestleMania, nobody was expecting to be good. And, you know, everybody was kind of going in, being like, ah, this is going to suck. They didn't promote any of these matches. Roman's going to win. And it ended up being one of the better WrestleManias in the last 15 years. So I think that there's potential there, especially, I mean, you don't know what The Rock's doing, Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold. You don't know what surprises they're going to bring up. I mean, bring in. So, I mean, there's a lot of excitement there.
And I'll go on record and I'll explain this because I don't want anybody out there to think that, like, you know, I'm not trying to hate on this. I'm not trying to ruin your good time. But the things that I love about wrestling and the things that you love about wrestling and the people out there love about wrestling are so different. Because truthfully, I would happily watch two indie guys that can do chain wrestling and actually make me suspend my disbelief that they're actually in an athletic competition than I am to have them trot out The Rock or Shawn Michaels or a broken down Mick Foley to do something that, quite frankly, I'm not going to believe is real. And maybe it's because I've watched so much MMA and I've participated in judo and jiu-jitsu and everything for the years, or maybe it's the 10 years I spent running security for 2CW, but a lot of this stuff is just to a point where, like, it's harder and harder for me as time goes on to suspend my disbelief and truly enjoy it.
Okay, so taking your mindset and what you look for, I think you could get that in the AJ Styles Jericho match, but you hate Jericho.
But I've seen it four times.
But you know they're going to step it up, and it's going to be they're going to do more than what they've done. I agree with you that but it's just
A giant logic hole in it. And the fact of the matter is this is match number 4, and AJ's up 2-1 in the 3 previous encounters. So all Jericho can do is tie it. How WWE doesn't see that this is a perfect opportunity for a best of 5 or a best of 7. You do another televised match, let Jericho match up the the win, and then AJ gets the win at Mania, the win at Mania means nothing now because he's already up. The worst case scenario for AJ is that he and Jericho are now even after Mania.
Yeah, but you know that a Mania win propels you or should give you an extra boost and solidify where you are in the company.
But it doesn't make the guys like me fall in line to want to see that
but
match.
But that's the, I 100% agree with you, and we go back and forth on this every single week in agreement, is that it's the win-loss, 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 what they do to everyone. I mean, they're doing it to Kevin Owens now, you know? I mean, he just lost on Monday night to
It's because
Zane.
He's going
to
hold on to the title on
exactly.
Sunday.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's very predictable. But if you're talking about what they're doing, there's two parts of me when I watch. I watch it for the story. I watch it for what's happening in the ring. And I think with the AJ Jericho, I could give a crap about the story, even though Jericho's been awesome heel, to me, it's good. They're going to put on an awesome match with awesome moves, and that ring wrestling that you're talking about, I believe that could be the best match on the card as far as what they do in the ring.
I don't think Jericho can hang with AJ right now.
I don't know, man.
Go back and watch those previous three matches, and yes, the matches were good, but they weren't great. I think
they were saving. I think this was the plan all along. I mean, originally the plan was supposed to be Jericho versus Ambrose until all the injuries, but I think that the plan was they knew where they were going to go. That's why they teamed him up and immediately did the swerve and made him go heel. But I think that's going to be an awesome match. And AJ has the knack of making people look good. And
but
so,
he hasn't been able to elevate Jericho because Jericho just physically doesn't have it anymore. For me, I genuinely think that this WrestleMania was just completely misbooked. How do you miss the opportunity to put AJ and Kevin Owens in the ring together on that giant stage? Because next year, it's not going to mean as much because AJ's going to be a year older. And right now, you need to take advantage of him in the prime of his career. And he is 100% in the prime of his career.
Listen, there's two matches that I wanted to see. It was either Kevin Owens versus AJ or Kevin Owens versus Undertaker because of what he would say on the mic and what he could do with Taker and help elevate him and make him look better. For whatever reason, you know, I think it's because they needed a big name to go against Jericho because Ambrose had to go, you know, had to change. Yeah. And what do you do with all the other guys that are in the ladder match? I mean,
that's where you stick Kalisto in and you do the U.S. title match.
But then you have, then where do you put ADR? Or, I mean, where do you put Ryback, your boy?
On his waivers. We wish you well in your future endeavors, Ryan Reeves.
Well, here's the thing. I think they're looking at it as Jericho is only here for a certain amount of time. Let's put him against one of the best. He still gets tons of reaction from the crowd. And all these house shows and the MSG show that was last week, it's been AJ versus Owens. And they put on awesome matches.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Owens will win it, even though I think Zayn should have it. Owens should win it. We'll win it, and then it'll be Owens versus AJ because AJ will then have to move and go towards some belt. He's not going after the main title belt, unfortunately.
Where your head is at, but unfortunately, I've been watching this product long enough to know that chances are it's going to be a situation where Ryback's going to squash Kalisto, and they're going to send AJ after Ryback, and it's going to be the worst thing
ever. You think?
Yes.
I think Kalisto wins.
No, because you know, there's no way.
I think Kalisto wins. I think they need the merch. And he's selling, and he gets good pop reaction.
They do, but by the same token, you know what I mean? It's just like you can still sell those Lucha Dragon shirts if those guys are in the tag team division.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think that there's something with him about being a little guy, and it's on a belt, and it's a belt that isn't one of the main ones, and you watch because of with him having the belt, it puts a focus on that belt because what he can do in ring. You put it on Ryback, it gets lost in the shovel, and nobody gives a crap. And I think that's the reason why they're putting it on the pre-show. I mean, that's just me. I think that they'll keep Kalisto, but you're right. I mean, who knows?
Dude, you've got to look at it from the perspective of how they're building it, which is big guy versus little guy. And with Ryback being the size he is, Jericho's going to go over AJ, and Ryback's going to attack AJ Monday night. There's going to be some confrontation, and it's going to be the continuation of a good big guy is going to beat a good little guy, and AJ is going to be stuck with the U.S. title.
So you think AJ, after he beats Jericho, him and Ryback start a feud?
I think so, yeah.
Is this insider info, or is this just your gut?
This is just me guessing.
Right. And I'm going to guess and say Kalisto wins, and AJ and Kevin Owens is the second chapter. Or
you've got to remember
not,
that there's unfinished business with Owens and Zayn.
Well, I
and
think
you've
that's,
got to establish Zayn because he's been gone for a while. Homeboy threw his shoulder out in his first Raw match.
Well, that's why I thought and feel that Zayn should win it. He needs to establish himself on the roster, not get lost in the shuffle. And he's not getting the pops because, you know, the Raw crowd doesn't know him as well as, you know, you
but
and
putting
I.
Putting the title on him is not going to help that cause.
It will if you have Owens go after him and beat his ass and they
Owens
have that
Owens is too much
NXT
of a
too.
Tweener, bro. You got to look at the reactions Kevin Owens gets on TV, and it's 50-50. You know what I mean? So for the 50% that are cheering for him, they know who he is, and they're not going to stop cheering for him. And you're setting yourself up for a situation like the Wyatts where you don't have a true heel anymore.
Yes, but that's pretty much everyone on the roster, if you think about it. I mean, Rollins, I loved Rollins when he was a heel, but he got booed. I mean, say the same thing with Roman. You could say the same thing with Brock with, I think the only true babyface that's literally on the roster right now is Dean Ambrose. Kevin Owens, yes, I agree with you that, I mean, I root for Kevin Owens no matter who he's against, but if you put Owens against Zayn or Owens against AJ Styles, you're putting him against a good guy that a lot of people like. And because of the story and what Owens can do, I mean, NXT crowd loved Owens, but they also hated what he did to Zayn and how and the beast that he became down there. If you could do that, could WWE if the main roster allows that to happen, then you never know.
Here's the thing, man. And while I agree with you on a lot of points, it's so much harder to do the things like the Owen Zayn thing from NXT in front of 8,000 people as opposed to 300 people at Full Sail, because those 300 people at Full Sail come every time. They get emotionally invested. These aren't the people that are filling the arenas for Raw and SmackDown. These are your casual viewers. These are the dads that are bringing their kids. You know what I mean? These are the families. We are the minority by far in this situation. Guys like you and I make up maybe 20% of the revenue that WWE generates, and that's why they don't book for us. They book for everything else.
And for those same people, the dads that are bringing their kids and stuff down, it is also what they're – sorry, we just have a bit – hi, Dave. For those same dads that are bringing their kids that you're talking about, I mean, they're going to boo Kevin Owens.
Right.
Because he's a heel. So, again, you can get that storyline on the main roster. Guys like you and I are going to cheer Owens because he's so awesome. But you're going to have those casual fans that only tune in at Raw or bring their kids in because it's the local event coming to town, going to boom because he's the bad guy and he treats everybody like he's the bad guy. So I think, unfortunately, it's just what it is now. I mean, Stone Cold and kind of, you know, and even Flair when he got older in his days changed that. There's no true heel and there's no true face. You get very down the middle for most guys. I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of people are, you know, as a tweener.
Well, you've now explained why the wrestling business is in the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I wouldn't say toilet. I'm not as down as you are because I think what I'm down on more than anything is the storyline. I'm not mad at myself for cheering for Kevin Owens because he's a heel. I just love Kevin Owens because of how awesome he is in the ring. Yeah. I appreciate it. Back when I was a kid, I was told who to like and who to dislike. I choose. So I think that there's a difference. I think the problem, though, on the main roster, and again, we always go back to this, is it's the win-loss booking and the dropping of storylines like this, and we're just supposed to go with it. And that's the frustrating thing for people like you and I and our listeners. It sucks because you want to be able to have great stories. I remember when I was a kid, man, there was 4 pay-per-views a year, and you would have like 3 months leading up to it. Yeah. And so when that Royal Rumble or Mania or SummerSlam came, those were epic freaking matches.
So now you get it every month, and everything is a microcosm, and there's no real build.
And you see the pay-per-view match that you're going to see at Mania, or you're going to see at No Way Out, or whatever pay-per-view it is of the month, 3 weeks leading up to it on Raw. Whether it's a tag team or whether it's one-on-one.
Yeah.
And so it loses its flavor. That's why a lot of people had issues with Shane and Taker touching.
Yeah.
They didn't want them to touch till the end. And I was up. I 100% agreed with that until I saw the elbow off because it just got my juices flowing. Like, okay, Shane can do something crazy. I think there's issues with it. And I think that's why you see the struggle between NXT and Raw, SmackDown, and I think you're seeing more and more influences of, you know, I know a lot of people don't want to give him credit, but Triple H and hopefully, you know, and the rumor is that Shane, I'm not saying he's going to stay, he's going to win, but he's there's more influence on the back.
We know there's a brand split coming, man. It's everywhere.
Oh, there's brand splits, 100%.
Yeah.
That was my big surprise, man. All right, let's
go down the card because we're slowly running out of time here because you and I always tend to get sidetracked. We should just do
All right, so we already went.
Jay and Dixon argue about wrestling.
I know. Well, we're not really arguing. We're in agreement. It's just that we're seeing, you know, there's different points to it. So you have Ryback. I have Kalisto.
Yep.
All right. I think they go with a little dude. That's why they're doing the storyline. Divas, Bad Blonde, you want a bomb to go off in the ring.
No, I don't want any of them to die. I just don't want any of them to ever wrestle again except for Naomi.
All right, and I'm hoping Emma wins. I love those shades. Anybody, any hot chick that wears aviators? She's pretty badass in the ring, too. Usos, Dudley Boys.
Don't care. They've done it a million times. Probably the Dudleys. The Dudleys are probably going to win because they're the new muscle for Triple H.
Do you think that they bring the tables out?
No.
Okay. I'm going to say that Usos win just because it's you need good guys to win in the undercard. And then, yeah, who cares about that match? All right, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
If we're now going
move
by,
to the main card,
if we're going by the what the rumors are on the dirt sheets and whatnot, I'm going to say Cesaro.
Yeah. I haven't heard that Cesaro's coming. Dude, I'm all over the dirt. Cesaro's coming back.
Cesaro is cleared to come back for the European tour that follows WrestleMania, and rumor has it from a reliable source they're pushing him to come back for WrestleMania to give him some momentum going into that European tour and to put another face on TV that has some momentum.
Dropping bombs on this podcast. I've listened to podcasts all week and nobody has ever even sniffed at that. So that would be freaking amazing.
This was a couple hours ago.
So
if Cesaro doesn't win, and I know this will never happen in a million years, I would love to see Tyler Breeze win it, give the trophy a makeover because the thing towers over him. And I think it would be a funny gimmick and a way to get that kid over.
Yeah. I'm hoping that if it's not Cesaro, and I like the Tyler Breeze, I am hoping that Sandow gets his comeback because he almost won it last year against The Miz, and then he lost, and he came out on Raw. That was the first time he's been out on Raw, you know, separating the two beasts. I'm hoping for a Santa. I don't think it'll happen, but hey.
I'm going to make a wild prediction right now. It's going to piss you off.
Whoa.
I bet you he's the first person out of the match.
Probably. Because they jobbed the shit out of him, which is horrible. I could see one of the social outcasts winning it just because then they can brag about something and have something between the four of them for later on.
I see Big Show or Kane or somebody along those lines eliminating all four of them at once, just bushwhacker style. Like,
who the hell else is in the match then? I mean, like, if you eliminate all four, I mean, there's like 20 dudes in this, isn't there?
Yeah, that leaves 16.
Yeah.
And it's moved to the main card, which means it probably has like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So you've got to do these boom, 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 machine gun style eliminations to get down to the final two, three,
all right,
four.
So who do you got? You're saying Cesaro.
If Cesaro is in the match, he wins it.
Okay.
If he's not, I'm going with Tyler Breeze.
Why? Just because you want him to? Because you're just saying Kane and Big Show. Tyler Breeze, I mean, that's a wild card. I like it.
I think Mark Henry exacts his revenge for SmackDown on both Big Show and Kane, and then somebody either teams up or pulls the rope down. Because that's the thing, is if it comes down to a Mark Henry and a Tyler Breeze, all you got to do is have Mark Henry charge the kid. He ducks down, pulls the top rope down, and it's like the first Royal Rumble when Hacksaw Jim Duggan put the one-man gang out.
Yeah, I mean, I like your idea of putting it on somebody that is up and coming rather than a Kane or a Big Show. And I think the reason why they've been focusing on those in the couple weeks leading up to it is because they will not win it. To make you feel like they are, give the names some juice, and then it's going to be a surprise, much like it was with Cesaro, 2 years ago. So I like that. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Cesaro. That's pretty epic if it happens. All right, the next one, let's just get the girls out of the way.
Charlotte wins. Bayley's coming up. She's going to debut the night after WrestleMania. There's your new women's championship feud going forward.
You think Bayley comes up after?
Yeah.
Is that inside info? Or is that gut?
No.
See, you've got to tell me because I'm not sure.
Look, you're very they did it with Paige last year. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like that they're not afraid to go back to the well. You know what I mean? I feel like Vince is that guy that's like, well, it worked last year with Paige. Let's just throw Bayley out there.
Yeah.
And I think Bayley mixes things up a little bit, and it gives Sasha and what's her nuts, the other broad, Becky Lynch, a chance to feud themselves.
Yeah, I definitely think Charlotte's winning it, without a doubt. I think it's just too much. It's a perfect heel. You have Ric Flair there every week. You don't want to see her chase the belt. You want to see her, a good person have it. So if Bayley comes up and then you have
the best
good,
writing good that Bayley the staff has done has been for the women's title.
Absolutely. I'm into this match. I think it's going to be awesome.
I could care less.
You know, and no women's match ever in the history of WrestleMania has gone over 10 minutes. This will be the first one. They're going to give them enough time. There's 4 hours and there's only 8 matches. They'll give them enough time to, I say it goes
I'll
at least
it
15
when I
minutes.
See it.
15 minutes.
I'm going to say that it'll be lucky to get 12.
Over and, okay, over under 12. I got it over 12. You got it under 12? All right, boom, right there. All right, a match that I'm super excited for. I know it's been done before last year. But the Intercontinental Championship on the line, ladder match. And the reason why I'm excited for this is because anything that has Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, I mean, they're all pretty awesome wrestlers. I mean, they all can do some sweet spots. So, I mean, glad Zack Ryder got getting a little love.
Oh,
getting the
he's
payday.
Great with his spots. He's
hey. He deserves to be on Mania with all the crap that he's done. He
should
made
be
himself
in, he should
star.
Be in the Battle Royal. Tyler Breeze should be in this match.
And
I don't want to come off like I'm a Tyler Breeze no. mark by any stretch of the imagination, but he's far better suited to this match than he is a Battle Royal and vice versa for Zack Ryder.
I wouldn't be against that at all. But I think the reason why Tyler Breeze – but if Tyler Breeze wins it or he comes down to the final, I mean, I think he'd get lost in the shuffle, just like Sin Cara or Miz. Nobody really care about those guys. I think Tyler would just get lost, and at least in the Battle Royal,
but it's a way to break him out,
yeah,
and potentially put him into like a three-way feud with Owens and Sami Zayn, giving you your real heel for the tweener and the guy that isn't established yet.
So why do you think they left him out? Because he looks too much like Ziggler?
Unfortunately.
All right, who you got winning this?
Oh, KO.
KO. Yeah, I'm going to go KO just because he's my favorite on the roster. And Zayn, I could see them giving it to him.
Sammy's not established enough.
This would be a way to establish him. The problem is that he just won on Monday. So there's no way they're having Owens lose on Monday and then lose on Sunday in this epic match. It's KO Mania. They've been saying it for a reason.
And there's absolutely.
He's been saying it.
Putting the Intercontinental title on Sami Zayn pushes him further from people knowing or caring about him.
Yeah. Well, I think that
you
if
have
you
to
can come out with
establish who he is and what he does, because like you said earlier, NXT doesn't matter. It has no bearing on what happens on TV, and all Sami Zayn has done on Raw is wrestle John Cena with a dislocated shoulder after he blew his shoulder out throwing his arms in the air.
Yeah.
So you've got to look at it from that perspective. There's no way you're putting the title on that kid as far as business goes.
Well, I mean, I think if you're not going to and you're going to put it on Owens, then you have to go with that feud leading out of it. Because if not, then my fear is Zayn is going to become another Tyler Breeze. He's just going to get lost on the roster. And that sucks because I think that those two guys have more talent than a lot of these other guys that they've been pushing. And especially if they're not going to make it now with a depleted roster, then when everybody comes back, they're going to be nothing but.
Sami needs a stint in a tag team to really establish himself on the main roster. Stick him with somebody. I don't care who. He's obviously going to be the Shawn Michaels to whatever Marty Jannetty you put with him. But he needs to establish himself as the breakout star of a tag team. That's just my opinion.
I'd love that. All right, so we both got KO on that. AJ Jericho.
You have to ask. It's going to be AJ. I mean,
AJ Jericho.
Jericho only comes back to put dudes over at this point, so.
Yeah, pretty much. It's got to be AJ. I think this match will go 18, 20 minutes.
Why, you want Chris Jericho to die?
I think he'll do it. I mean, he went over 10 minutes with freaking Fandango a couple years ago. So, and that was only 3 years ago. So I think they'll give enough time just because even if it's just AJ doing a bunch of spots, I think they'll give it enough time. AJ goes over. I think it's going to – I'm calling this as the best match. I'm not saying it's going to have the biggest crowd excitement.
So you're talking work rate?
I'm saying work rate, it'll be the best match on the card.
Yeah, I mean, but there's nothing else on the card.
Well, that's what I'm saying. See, that's why I'm confident with what I'm saying about this.
Obviously, AJ is going to go over. You know, we talked about it earlier. He's probably going to end up mired in a Ryback feud, which – breaks my heart, but
that, I say no Ryback. AJ,
I'm telling you, man,
AJ's going a different direction. I think it's going to be something with Finn Balor, but we'll get into that. All right, so New Day, League of Nations. New Day.
I mean,
I'm doing my pelvic thrust in front of Dixon right now.
There you go.
For the listeners. Yep.
I truly enjoy both acts. I do. I love elements of both. I just think it's kind of a pointless feud that doesn't really have any legs, and the heels need to win one, so League of Nation goes over.
Wow. I'm going to go New Day just because they just – well, you know what? I take that back. I see League of Nations winning, and the reason why is because New Day as face now trying to go after the belt against these guys is – much more money in the get at the gate than if it's the other way around, because and especially they have beaten League of Nations literally for the last three straight weeks.
And you
so
look
why
at it,
why what's the point of it if you're just going to have New Day go over? Right. So I agree with you. I like
in the way they've built League of Nations is it's a way for them to win and cheat to win and get DQ'd and get counted out and walk away from matches and really get some heat where you can put, you know, that baby face shine really on the New Day.
Yep, I agree. I like that. And then, all right, I think we're just down to the main three. So, well, let's just get the Triple H Roman out, because that's the one I'm least excited for.
Yeah,
or do you want to save that for the end? Because
no, I mean, I'll make a simple statement, which is I could care less about the match.
Mm-hmm.
I could care less who walks out with the title. I think it's all kind of garbagey, and frankly, they should have pulled the trigger with Roman way before this. If they turn him, they turn him. It doesn't matter. If they turn him, he's not going to get booed. Like, he's going to get X-Pac heat. He's not getting legitimate boos. People don't dislike Roman Reigns. People don't dislike Roman's work rate. People dislike the fact that somebody else has decided that this is your new Lord and Savior, King of Wrestling, Roman Reigns. Had they come about it organically and he had actually started to roll and gain momentum, you wouldn't see these boos. But because of the internet and because of smart marks and because of people that want to, you know, put their opinions out there, much like you and I, it's a situation where I think had they let him build organically to either become face or heel, that the reaction he got would be much more natural than it is now. Because even if he goes heel, they're going to boo him like X-Pac, not because they dislike him, but because he's the chosen one.
So, but here's the thing. If they're booing him because they feel – if we boo him because we feel he's being pushed down our throat, we're still – there's a reason why we're booing him.
You're not booing him, though. You're booing Vince McMahon.
Some of the, you know, internet – marks are booing Vince McMahon. Like, I just don't see any. I think Roman, it looks like a great wrestler, but there isn't anything that he brings in the ring. He can't talk. There's no charisma. I mean,
wrestles in street clothes.
So there's nothing there. So for me, when I'm booing or I'm just like, I don't care about the match, it's not because, Vince is pushing it down. It's like, literally, I could care less about him getting over.
He's a product of the machine.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
and I'm not saying
are,
he's
are
bad.
You going to boo William H. Macy when he turns from good Frank to bad Frank on Shameless? It's a dude that's being paid to play a character. So ultimately, you can't be mad at Roman Reigns. You know what I mean?
No, like, I don't think there's that.
It's not
X-Pac
like the kid's not
hate.
Trying.
I don't think it's exactly. I don't think it's that. I think it's that it's the character. I think we all know nowadays that these people
are
trying.
Here's my question is, what is his character? He's a dude that used to be in the Shield, and what has been established since?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's no character. There's no storyline. There's no reason for me to root for him. And then when they do put him in situations to root for him, like at the Royal Rumble, you know, he looks like even more like a punk, you know? He doesn't get stretchered out. He lets everybody beat up each other. He runs down, and I'm supposed to root for that? Like, the way they have booked him has been horrible, and that's part of the booze. Yeah, when he was in the Shield, everybody was loving him. So for me, no matter what, if you're going to get the booze that they're going to get, and if he wins the champion and he goes over his face, there's two things are going to happen. One, going to get booed out of the building. And two is, they're not ending Mania like that. They'll only end Mania with Roman holding the belt as if he turns heel. If not, my gut is telling me Shane and Taker end it because it's a hell in a cell. And because there's more, I think if Roman goes heel in the middle of the show, he could come out and he could do some damage on Shane or, you know, start that. I think this is what's exciting to me about these matches, because there's so many different directions that they could go. For the split brand, for the company moving forward.
Can you find one WrestleMania where the title match didn't close?
Yeah, there's a couple of them, actually. And I'll tell you this, the last three Triple H title matches on Mania, nobody ever cared about the matches because it was either Rock Hogan when he went against Jericho, or it was Undertaker Shawn Michaels when he went against Batista. So Triple H has been the closing match, and it's been a very lackluster ending. I think because it's the biggest WrestleMania in their eyes, that's the way they're promoting it, and Shane is definitely getting the most reaction out of anyone on that entire roster, along with Undertaker being epic. I don't see how you don't close with that, unless you have to.
I think it devalues the title. If the world heavyweight championship is not the most important part of your show, then it is worthless. If it does not close the show, then it's a prop at that point.
But isn't it a prop and worthless if Roman Reigns holds it up in the air as a face?
No.
And wears it? Because nobody's going to care. And people are going to say this Mania sucks. At the end of the day, they want people to go home happy, or want people to go home like, holy crap, I've got to tune into Raw. I can't see people being excited about tuning into Raw unless Shane wins and then Roman is the champ and Roman is part of that storyline. At some point, those storylines have to merge because Triple H and Steph have stayed away from the Shane. Steph was involved. Now they're completely gone. So at some point, they have to merge. I think they merge on Mania. I think it has to merge on Mania. And I think that Monday, you know, it'll bleed into Monday. I just can't see them doing Roman as a face winning. That's just me. Roman wins.
See, I think there's a lot of ways you can go. I think if I'm booking this, I put Roman over. I let the cascade of boos come down, and then Shane comes out, grabs the mic, and says, "We'll talk about this tomorrow night on Raw." And that's how you close Mania. And then you have the hottest edition of Raw ever because everybody's anticipating what's happening. Shane's got control. He publicly said that we're not going to take these things. The people that you're getting shoved down your throat, we're going to give the underdogs a chance. And I think that way Roman can become a natural heel as Shane sends these young and up-and-coming guys after him, just like the U.S. title tournament or the U.S. title open that Cena did.
Yeah. Well, and real quick about this match that just came out a couple hours ago, it's a no DQ match. So
this is where you get your run in.
This is where you're going to get your run in. Something's going to happen. So if you want that to be the end of the show, I could see something where if the Shane Witt beats Taker for however, and he comes down to celebrate with Roman after, and Roman spears him, and you go into Raw, you end and go into Raw like, holy shit, what's going to happen? Shane's the good guy everybody loves. He just got control, and Roman everybody hates just speared. Where does that go? I could see something like that to be exciting, be like, holy shit, where do we go?
But that's not AB, brother. That's like A to S.
It's going to be AB. If Shane takes over Raw and Roman is the champion, they will come to a head on Monday. They have to. There's no way you can keep those because Triple H lost to Roman and Stephanie, and then what does that mean for them? Is Roman going to be on with Shane and he's going to be like his good guy champion and enforcer and keep Triple H and those guys away? Because that's going to
–
No, that'll
you know
merge.
How this is going, dude. Like Shane's going to win. He's going to have Raw. There's going to be a secondary thing where Triple H and Stephanie end up with SmackDown.
Yeah.
And it's what, 2003 all over again?
Well, and they've already sold promoting Raw down, and I think it's in Florida, like 3 weeks.
They have figures at Walmart that have brand-specific dudes on the back of the card. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where it's like, oh, check out this Raw superstar. Check out this SmackDown superstar. And it's like, okay.
I think, but I would be excited for that. It would change it up. I love SmackDown's announcing team now. Yeah. I think that, and if Triple H and Stephanie go there, I think you're going to get more of the NXT flavor and storylines than you are because Vince does nothing.
See,
with SmackDown.
I think both scenarios lend itself to a lot of guys that are a C-level talent right now getting to bump up, and it's going to bring more NXT guys to both brands.
Absolutely. All right, so Brock Ambrose.
I hate Dean Ambrose.
I think you and I might be the only two people that host a podcast or on a podcast that are not fans of Ambrose. It's not like I don't like the guy.
John Moxley's a cool guy.
It's just his character. I could care less.
It's corny. It's dumb. It's campy. It's over the top. And I hope Brock Lesnar really legitimately makes him understand why you don't poke the bear.
I hope Brock just kills him, and I hope that he is Ambrose's character comes out of he never said I quit, or he never like it had to, Brock had to go to a limit that he has never gone before to give Ambrose that, you know, coup de grace to the crowd and to the wrestling community. But for me,
it's weird. If it's Ambrose weird you wins brought up this, the I quit. It's weird you brought up the I quit because my thought process with this is Lesnar ragdolls him. Dean gets a couple of hope spots here and there, but for the most part, Lesnar just steamrolls the little bitch that can't throw punches.
Suplex record going to be on
Mania. And then Monday night, Dean Ambrose comes out all bandaged up with, you know, the tape and the sling and everything else. And he's like, you know, you beat me, but, you know, my body quit. I didn't quit. I will never quit. I challenge you to an I quit match. Yeah.
Is Lesnar on for the pay-per-view after, like normal, or does he go away?
Not the next one, but the one after he's back.
So, I mean, yeah, you could go that way. The only way Ambrose wins is if he does some forklift or some, you know, Titantron on him like
and
they've done
Lesnar
in the past
has the Hogan clause, and if he doesn't like the way the finish is with him on the bottom, then he's not going
to
do it.
Yeah. Realistically, there's no way that – I mean, Lesnar to me has been the most exciting guy to watch on these pay-per-views because of his intensity and because of where their matches –
Well, you're
matches
a net
go.
Nerd like I am, man. Yeah. This is the match everybody cares about.
Yeah, I would say this one, Shayna Taker. I would say that those are easily the top two. So I'll go with Lesnar out of heart, but I think that I have a feeling my gut is telling me they're going to go with Ambrose, man.
I don't see it.
No? All right, I hope you're right. I hope we're right. And then let's go to the main event, my main event, what should end the show. I understand what you're saying about the belt, and I agree with you, but this year the belt isn't as important compared to this because this is the company on the line, Vince McMahon, Stephanie, Triple H, possible brand split. There's a lot more involved in this match than there is with the title match. So Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell match, who you got?
Probably Shane. Does it suck that I don't care, that I really don't
care? Oh, yes, it does suck. And that's probably why you're not coming to my WrestleMania party.
Because you've got a 45-year-old guy fighting a 60-year-old guy in a cage over control of a fake company. You know what I mean? Like, it's not compelling to me.
Oh, and Undertaker's career's on the line. He'll never be able to wrestle at WrestleMania again. Whoa. SummerSlam, yes, but not WrestleMania. Do you think... Question for you. Do you think this is a possible retirement match for Taker, and then he goes in the Hall of Fame in Orlando next year?
Maybe, but why wouldn't you put him in the Hall of Fame in his home state?
Because he's wrestling, and it would be give it away. And maybe Taker wanted one more year, big payday. I mean, there could be many reasons, but – and, you know, they're doing Sting. It was supposed to be Sting and Taker until Sting got hurt. I can't see Shane going cleanly over Taker and Taker leaving. I mean, it's a very easy stipulation that Shane can correct. He could just be like, hey, I'm in control of the company now. I hire Taker back. I don't know if they'll do that.
So you
that.
Just ruined it for everybody because that's just, exactly what's going to happen.
You think that's what's going to happen? Yeah. I think
it comes down to Shane giving the crappy scripted thing that he's going to fumble through, like, Taker, like, you gave me all I could handle, and I gave you all you could handle, and now I'm in charge, and you earned my respect, so here's a contract
for next
year's
WrestleMania. So you think Shane goes over Taker clean in Hell in a Cell? Taker's
clean,
never lost a Hell in a Cell.
Clean, no.
So you think
absolutely
he cheats?
Not. I don't think he cheats. I think this is where some strange things are afoot.
You got the Balor Club coming up? They're coming on Monday.
I don't know if it'll be Monday.
Just came out that they have been behind. They've been at every Raw SmackDown taping the last 2 weeks, and that they are planning on debuting on Monday.
We shall see.
I think it is, and I think on the NXT card, by the way, NXT card, 10 times more excited over the WrestleMania card. Friday night's going to be epic. If you're not doing anything Friday, come on over for that instead. I think Finn loses to Samoa Joe, which will be awesome. Samoa Joe is doing the best heel work right now out of any company. It's phenomenal.
I'm going to disagree with you on
Who's
that.
Who's better?
I think there's a couple of guys that can out-heel Samoa Joe.
I'm not saying it can't, but I'm just saying right now his intensity is at a level.
I think
level.
Matt Hardy's the best heel in the business right now.
But he has other people to help him that. His wife and the baby and like that. I think that that's a better story heel-wise. For long term, I just think as a machine who has this intensity, who can destroy, and his anger, I just think he's at the top of the game. That being said, I think Finn loses. I think he debuts on the roster. I always thought that he would come in and on Mania and cause one of the big matches to happen, and then that's the reason why they're there on Monday. It'll be interesting to see if that's who Shane brings up, or is that Triple H's faction that he brings to SmackDown, and then you have, you know, those
guys. I think it's a waste to put Baylor on SmackDown. If he's not on the Raw roster, then he shouldn't be called up.
Yeah. Well, and it'll be interesting. I mean, you need him on the Raw roster with all these injuries. I mean, and supposedly Cena is close to being medically cleared, so, you know, he'll some.
He still has press junket to do for that terrible True Grit store or whatever the stupid thing he's doing.
The reality show?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It looks like every freaking reality show since 96. All right, so who do you got? Taker, Shane?
I'm going to go Shane. Don't care how it happens.
I'm going with it has to be Shane because as a storyteller myself, if you are going to have an audience and the viewership excited as hell to take over a company and take it in a new direction and have this major comeback and for him to lose and to end it like that, what the fuck was the point?
I agree.
There has to be a continuation of this story, and it can't be like Shane being like, oh, I lost the Taker, but you cheated, so now I want to come back. If that's the way they go, it's jank. I think you have to put Shane over. How they do it, I don't know. I have some ideas, and then we go from there.
Very cool.
All right, so that I think we've just covered every match, NXT, Friday, Hall of Fame Saturday. Some interesting people you're going to have to tune in
next week to find out who was right and who was wrong.
There it is. We'll see. I'll have to listen back to see what I predicted so I don't come in here and say I'm always right.
Smoothie will be back next week as well. So thanks for listening. It is the B Show, a wrestling podcast.
Enjoy Mania.